Clothing is a really essential part of our lives. Clothing often gives us shelter, and here in Hanford we know we need that warm, we get that warm sun, and so we need the shelter. The clothing gives us protection from the sun, it prevents us from getting sunburned. Also, clothing gives us protection in the winter months. We get to put on nice warm jackets and cuddly clothes, and we are able to stay nice and warm. The other thing about clothing is that, believe it or not, it hides our imperfections. And believe me, I'm sure that you can agree with me that I have many imperfections, and I'm sure you would as well. The other thing about clothing is it hides our shame. It hides our shame. Clothing can also make us feel important. That's why I wear a suit every Sabbath morning. I feel important because everybody likes my ties that Lizelle chooses for me. And as people look at us, they comment on the clothes that we wear, and they feel just so much better about themselves and than what they did just a few minutes earlier. Clothing, believe it or not, can also help us belong to social groups. Social groups, as they dress differently, accept people who dress like they dress. And very often, if we want to fit in with social groups, we will dress as what they dress so that we can be part of them. However, in Scripture, we find clothing represents more than just what you wear, but it has a deep symbolic image in clothing, or there is a deep symbolic image in clothing. Our story of the woman who touched the garments of Jesus is an interesting story. And within the story, we're able to find real great spiritual truths. The story speaks of the truth of salvation and the way through which we are saved, which is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The fringe or the border that this woman touched in the story of touching Jesus' garment. This word in the Greek is called kaspedon. So kaspedon is this fringe, this border that she touches. And it's an interesting design, this border, because it is little pieces of material that are woven together and then sewn at the bottom of the garment or of the robe that Jesus would have been wearing as a while he walked around. In Deuteronomy 22 and verse 12, we read something really interesting about these little tassels or kaspedons. It says, "You shall make tassels on the four corners of your clothes with which you cover yourself." So Moses gives this instruction to Israel. And sadly, over the years that passed from there, the Jewish people or the Israelites began to forget and pervert this instruction given to Moses. So much so that Jesus remarks about this kaspedon to the Jewish people in Matthew 23 and verse 5. It's interesting that Jesus says the following words. He says, But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders, the kaspedons, of their gardens. Now, the phylacteries were those things that they would tie to their forehands and to their foreheads, and they would make the kaspedons big so that people could see them. And Jesus is saying, you do these things so that you can show your piety, so that you can show how well or how good you are. The religious leaders were claiming to be devout and in their spiritual obligations to God. They were saying that we are better than the rest of you because look at our cuspidons and look at our phylacteries and how wonderful they are. It's interesting that this word tassel in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy uses this word, and it comes from the Hebrew verb called gadil. Now, gadil had this meaning of becoming great. And so as we look at the origin of this word, becoming great, we begin to see the religious leaders impressing upon themselves this idea of we are becoming great. We are enlarging our tassels. We are enlarging our phylacteries so that people can see how wonderful we are. And so through their actions, they are suggesting, look at our great religious works. These give us the assurance that we are saved. Their works were covering their spiritual nakedness. Jesus rebukes this behavior because he says that these were being used as badges of attraction. The religious leaders desired people to see them and give them reverence and bow before them because of their large tassels and phylacteries. All this was a development of a sense of self-righteousness. This made me think of Moses, and as we continue our journey through Genesis, it made me think of Moses in Genesis 3 and verse 7. Genesis 3 and verse 7 says the following, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened." You'll remember that Adam and Eve had just eaten the fruit that God had forbidden them in the Garden of Eden, and now they had eaten of it, and they were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a covering. Adam and Eve, after they had sinned against God, they saw their nakedness and they were ashamed. I don't know about you, but as I go through my own journey, my own life, there are things that I do that I become ashamed of and try and hide them from other people. I try and boast about certain things that people don't see my weaknesses. I hope I'm not in this boat on my own, and I hope you can relate to this idea of covering our shame because of who we are. In their attempt to solve their problem, they sewed these fig leaves together and covered themselves. I don't know how comfortable that was, but that's what they did. Fig leaves today are not very pleasant leaves, but they chose those for some or other reason, and I have no idea why. They sewed the fig leaves together, but this speaks of a bigger issue at stake. It speaks not just to the lack of their clothing, it speaks to the issue of their actions trying to cover up their shame. This, however, does not address the symptom of the problem. Their attempts and the attempts of the Pharisees cannot cover their sinfulness. Adam and Eve, the Pharisees, and even us try and cover up our separation from God by sewing together our own little fig leaves, our own clothes, but to no avail. Both Adam and Eve and the religious leaders in Jesus' time were trying to cover up their sinfulness by their own actions. Attempting to present themselves acceptable to God, trying to say, "God, we're okay, please accept us back." Are you and I any different? Do we try and conceal our spiritual nakedness by following all the do's and don'ts? Do we have a list of things that we abstain from because we want to cover ourselves, like Adam and Eve? However, God said to them in their attempt to save themselves, "This is not adequate enough. This would not do for them. This could not save them. This could not restore that which they had lost. Their fig leaf covering would not withstand the elements of a sinful world." Eventually, the fig leaf would dry up and crumble, and there would be none. Read in Genesis 3 and verse 21. That says, God made tunics of skin for Adam and Eve. You see, God knows what we need. God realizes what we need in order to be saved. God knew what Adam and Eve needed in order to encounter, or he knew what they needed to encounter the hardships and the trauma and the elements of a sinful world. And so he gives them these clothes. God provides for them a form of clothing that would protect them against the elements of this world. What then is the solution for us? Where do we find the answer for our lives? If all my good works can't save me, how then can I be saved? How then can I endure and manage the hardships of life that we encounter, especially today, as you are in your home and I am over here and we're all separated? How do we manage these difficulties and these challenges in our lives? How can I be assured of my salvation? As we discover the solution to our problem, let's return to our scripture reading. Let's glean some insights from this woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment. We know that our salvation is found in Christ and in Him alone. So where in the story do we find salvation found in Christ? Where do we see this? We might think that the healing properties was purely in the garment itself, that there were some magical properties in the garment that Jesus was wearing, but this is a fallacy. This is some figment of imagination, and there was no intrinsic value in the garment that Jesus was wearing. When we look at what the woman touched, we need to dig a little deeper. When we look at this cuspidon, we begin to realize that there is special meaning in the cuspidon. The cuspidon consisted of two different colored materials woven together, white and blue. White and blue threads woven together that then dangled off the garments. These were not there to be decorative, although they had become decorative. They were there for a specific reason. They were there to remind Israel of God's presence. So every time they would see these cuspidons dangling on the garments of people around them, they were to remember what God had done for them. They were to remember that God lives within their presence, within their lives. God is there. It was also to remind them of the importance of God's law and that they should live a life in obedience to Him. This would be the blue. The blue would represent the law of God and their obedience, or remind them of their obedience to God's law. The cuspidon was also a reminder of salvation. The reminder of salvation that it is only in God that we are saved. As the Israelites looked upon the cuspidon, they were to be reminded that their salvation, their hope, is to be founded in Christ and in Him alone. As this woman reaches out and touches the cuspidon, she's reaching out and touching that which symbolized salvation in Christ. It wasn't just a piece of material, but it was something that symbolized that which Christ was doing for them and that which He did for us. The blue tassels reminded them of the Ten Commandments, and it pointed to Christ as the one who would perfectly fulfill the Ten Commandments on our behalf. The white tassels pointed to the purity and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So here, woven together, is the obedience of Christ to God's law and also His perfect righteousness becoming the means of our salvation. Matthew writes the story as he says this lady reached out to touch the cuspidon. In faith, she was claiming for herself that which Jesus Christ was providing for her. She was claiming the perfect life of Jesus Christ on her behalf. She was claiming everything that Jesus embodied so that she could be saved. Matthew emphasizes this point by quoting Jesus in Matthew 9, verse 22. And Jesus turns around, and when He saw her, He said, "Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that very hour. So that which saved her was not the cuspidon, but it was her faith in that which it represented. It represented Jesus Christ. It embodied Him. It symbolized Him. And so she reached out in faith. It was her faith in Christ that made her well. Being made well here speaks to salvation, not necessarily physical healing. Although she was physically healed, but she was also saved. Matthew wants his readers to see that the assurance of salvation comes from that which Christ provides. Christ provides everything we need. In the book of Genesis, Moses pointed out that God provided the garments for Adam and for Eve. It was not just for the elements of nature, but God was saying, I will provide all that you need so that you may be saved. I will give you the garments to protect you in the world that you experience. Galatians 3:27 says something wonderful. It says the following, for as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This verse speaks about the concept of clothing yourself, putting on Christ. This means that we clothe ourselves with Him. He is the one who covers our shamefulness. He's the one who covers our sinfulness. And as we reach out in faith to touch Jesus Christ, as this woman did, we become clothed in the righteous garments of Jesus Christ. The perfect life that Jesus lived then becomes ours. He covers us. He lives in us. He empowers us. He acts on our behalf. And so when you want to lose your patience at your wife or at your children and you're about to just yell at them, say that quiet prayer. Say, Jesus, act on my behalf. And He will act. This is being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is allowing Christ to dwell within you. The experience of the gospel is to know that as we reach out to Christ, He is faithful to heal and to forgive. It is to know that no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how embarrassed we may feel about ourselves, when we come to Christ and put Him on, we are saved. So what does this mean? What does it mean that we are saved? It means that we do not need to be like the Pharisees, trying to earn our salvation. As we come to Christ today and receive Him, we are clothed in His perfect life. Now as we have received His perfect life, we now live and walk in newness of life. We now live freed from the burdens of the sins and the lives that we've lived. We now live a new life empowered through Jesus Christ who lives in us. What wonderful news. What wonderful news to know that we can be clothed in Jesus Christ. We do not need to fear what happens. We do not need to fear anything that the world may throw us. We do not need to fear the second coming. We do not need to fear anything because Christ dwells in us. He has clothed us. And as we constantly give our lives to Him, we live in the hope of His deliverance. It is my prayer that all of you this morning will choose to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That you will choose to put on the garments that He provides on your behalf. And as you do that, may you bask in the eternal glory of Jesus Christ. Knowing that when He says, it is finished, we can join Him in the clouds of heaven. May God bless you as you choose this day to clothe yourselves in Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much that you have blessed us with your Son, Jesus Christ. That in Him we have the assurance of eternal life. That in Him we are clothed in His righteousness. And I pray, Father, that His clothing us will reassure us. That Him clothing us will give us the freedom to live a life now freed from the burdens of sin and freed from the fears that we may have. Please bless us now, Father. May the power of God dwell within us. May the love of Jesus Christ envelop us and consume us, and may the presence of the Holy Spirit continue to dwell with us now and forevermore, is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I do hope that you have a wonderful Sabbath day further. I would shake your hand, but I can't. And so I do hope that you will be blessed this day, and may God dwell with you on the Sabbath day and in the week that lies ahead. I look forward to seeing you next week. May God bless you.